Good morning. You're listening to 91.5 KUNV, and this is Neon Eden. I'm your host, Tobin LePan, reporter for the Las Vegas Sun, and my co-host, as always, is Sun political reporter Andrew Doman.
Good morning.
Joining us today is Andres Ramirez, president of the consulting and research firm Ramirez Group, and the Nevada director for Know Your Care, which is informing the public about the Affordable Care Act. 50% of the public say they don't know enough about about the law and how it impacts them, according to the Kaiser Health Tracking Poll. Andres, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Tobin.
And so, first of all, you've been, or Know Your Care has been chosen as one of the navigators in the state of Nevada by Nevada Health Link, which is the state system for rolling out the provisions of the Affordable Care Act. And could you tell, first of all, what is a navigator? What are you doing with Know Your Care?
So first, let's clarify it a little bit. So Know Your Care has been selected as a grantee to help with navigator and enrollment assister services for the Nevada Health Link.
Okay.
And the two positions do slightly different things. So a navigator is tasked with doing education outreach regarding the Nevada Health Link to explain to people how the process will work. And then enrollment assisters will be tasked with actually helping people sign up to one of the plans offered through the Nevada Health Week.
We were, you know, looking at that Kaiser Health Tracking Poll. It seems like the trust level in general, just information out in the public about the healthcare law is not going well so far. 20% of the people in this poll said that they would trust information coming from nonprofit and community organizations. And the media does worse, just to point that out. We only get 8% of the trust, public trust us. So how do you combat that? How do you get the word out there and have people take in that information and trust what you're telling them?
Yeah, so there's a few things here. One, there hasn't been a whole lot of resources invested into educating people specifically about the exchanges. That's why the law accommodated for resources to be invested, such as what is happening now. On top of that, we know that there's just been generally a lot of misinformation about the law in general and how these exchanges will work. So that's made it tougher to ensure that we educate people accurately, but it's also biased some of these polls in general. Now, the positive thing is that, you know, the exchanges aren't necessarily reaching the same population that a poll is. We are tasked with a very specific population in Nevada, which is estimated about 600,000 people. And those 600,000 people are people who are Nevada residents who are either citizens or legal residents in the state of Nevada who currently don't have insurance, is not offered through their job, and they work for an employer who's not required to provide it. They do not qualify for Medicare, and they do not qualify for Medicaid. So you are left with this smaller group of people, right, 600,000, which is about maybe a fifth, right, of the total state's population at the moment. So that's the only universe of people that we're going to. And the grantees that were selected in the process that have been put in place is, well, who are the groups and the methods to most effectively reach those 600,000 people? And that's the group that we're going after. And so I think that the plan that we at least at Know Your Care have put in place and what the Nevada Health Link is working with a variety of other agencies, government, state and local government agencies and service providers, that we'll be able to reach that community of people and get them educated properly and get them enrolled in the process.
So Andres, when we're talking about this population here, the 600,000 who don't have health insurance in Nevada, if we can kind of back up for a second and just look at I guess, the bigger picture, what is the underlying goal? What are we trying to do in getting these people health insurance? Why is this something we should be focused on?
Well, for a variety of reasons, it helps. One, the more people that are on health insurance, generally rates will decrease, and we're seeing that happen in various other places in this, around the country as they've released their proposed rates, and we're seeing some semblance of that here in Nevada once we've begun to announce rates. So it's important just overall to get people on insurance to reduce rates for everybody. On top of that, it provides a lot of economic benefits and values just for people in general. We know through research that many people particularly groups of uninsured, are one medical emergency away from bankruptcy, which impacts the economy in a variety of different levels. So getting people insured will help alleviate a lot of folks. You know, we talk about UMC and the struggles they're going through. UMC is one of the partners that we're working with. The average person at UMC doesn't have insurance, and therefore they're going to receive the most expensive form of treatment at a hospital, and the likelihood of them being able to cover those expenses aren't there. Now that people have insurance, the amount of uninsured people at UMC is going to decrease substantially because they'll be able to enroll for insurance and be able to have their procedures covered. So when we look at the cost of the overall community, cost towards our government, cost towards our economy, there's a lot of benefit in making sure that people are provided affordable health care coverage.
Now, going out into the community and just hearing about, what are the common misconceptions about the law that you're hearing? What do you find yourself clarifying the most, or people coming up to you saying, hey, I heard this is going to happen, that's just simply not true?
So a lot of the misconceptions are, one, just in terms of how the insurance law is going to impact businesses. And so, you know, one, recently the administration ruled that the penalty for businesses that have more than 50 full-time equivalent employees will be delayed for a year, but the process for how it applies, you know, for employees that are less than 50 full-time employees, which are not required to provide insurance for their employees but will be allowed to purchase insurance in the exchange, has confused a lot of employers. They think that they're required, that all businesses are required to provide insurance, and so there's been some misinformation a lot of misinformation regarding that process, and then also who's required to provide insurance from those companies, and it's only the full-time employees of a company with more than 50 full-time equivalent employees at their place of business. So that's been one huge misperception on that. The other portion is that people think they have to buy their own health insurance plan individually, you know, as opposed to if, you know, a gentleman's job or a woman's job offers spousal coverage, well, then that spouse and their family can be covered through that insurance, and those people aren't going to have to buy separate coverage on their own.
So there's certainly a lot of nuances here. This is a very long law, as we know. It's hundreds, if not thousands, of pages long.
926 pages.
926 pages, there it is, okay. Have you read it all?
I excluded the cover and the end notes at the end.
All right. The fact of it is, though, that every individual, right, has to have some form of health insurance. And the deadline for that, when it really starts, is January 1st. I know you guys are working through March, since people have sort of a 90-day leeway period there that you had discussed with me earlier. But what does this sort of look like on the ground? You have dozens of people working for you now. How do you find the people who are uninsured? And how do you know if you know, maybe this guy, he knows what he's doing, he's on the right track. But how do you find the people who need help with information or enrollment assistance?
So through a combination of methods. The Nevada Health Link on its own will be launching a major public relations and advertising campaign, making people aware of this on their own. For us, we're working with a variety, again, of service providers themselves to identify people who are uninsured who need insurance. So, again, if you walk into UMC Hospital and you go through the admitting process and they ask you for insurance and you say you have none, well, now you're a person that's flagged for us to be able to go help ensure that you meet the qualifications to enroll, and we can enroll you in the process. Or if we work with community health centers, Nevada Health Centers, for example, or any of the other hospitals around the area, or, you know, a community service organization such as LULAC or whomever, who have groups of people, churches themselves, that are identifying groups of people who are inviting us to come enroll their groups of uninsured, you know, membership or constituents in their area.
So
our folks, we have 34 people, right, that we'll have out in the community. There's mm-hmm. no way that we can possibly go and talk to everybody. And so we're working with an existing group of organizations in the community who already have groups of people who are inviting us to come meet with those folks so that we can reach the greatest amount of the population.
So let's say I'm someone who comes into UMC, 25-year-old guy, doesn't have health insurance. I get flagged. And now I'm talking to you. What would you say to me?
So the first thing I would say is, Andrew, you've picked the wrong line of work if you're working somewhere who doesn't offer you health insurance. But the second thing we would do is just try to determine what your situation is. If you're 25 years old and your parents have a health insurance plan, under the law, you're still allowed to be on your parents' insurance plan. So we would determine your situation. We would see if that's a viable option. It's generally more affordable for people under 26 years old to be on their parents' plan. So we would look at that option. If that option was available to you, then we would look at what options were available for you as a 25-year-old. We would ask you for your income levels and your work levels. So if you are working at a place and your work is not required to provide you insurance, well then, how much money are you making? And are you making more than the federal poverty level requires for you to be eligible for Medicaid? So if you're not eligible for Medicaid, then we look at an exchange option for you. And we will provide you, here are the bronze, silver, gold, and platinum options available for a 25-year-old person such as yourself based upon your income. Once we've determined that, then we would also, the program would determine what your subsidy would be available for you. So the average plan for a 25-year-old person would be around $90 a month without a subsidy. And then based on your income, that subsidy can be anywhere from 10 to 90%. So your overall bill could be anywhere, from $12 to, 80-some dollars. We'd get you signed up and, and make sure you get all your information processed and ready to go. And then your coverage would start January 1 if you enroll before December 15th.
So if in that process, though, I'm a wary consumer. I'm not sure maybe... that I want to give away some information, and I don't know if you're trying to sell me something. How do I get some reassurance that there's not going to be any kind of fraud involved, or that someone's not making a cut from enrolling me in health insurance?
Sure. So first of all of our enrollment assessors are required to be certified by the state, and they'll all be wearing badges showing their certification. And we get paid by the state, so we don't make one. You don't pay us anything. We're not allowed to collect any money from people that we enroll, so you either pay online or you mail your check-in or money order into the state. So you wouldn't give us any money or we would not charge you any money directly. So that's the first thing. Second of all, our process to go through it is that we try to accommodate folks as much as possible. All of the application forms will be processed digitally and electronically at some point. We know that there are some people who are wary about entering some of their information, online. So we will have paper applications. If someone wants to take a paper application and fill it out at home or on their own at a later point, they will be able to do so if they don't want to provide us the information they have. But all of our EEF enrollment assessors, are certified by the state. We're all bound to abide by the same HIPAA rules and everything else that healthcare workers are required to do so to protect someone's information.
And you guys can't even recommend a plan for me to buy, right?
Right. We cannot recommend. So there are four private entities who are offering insurance, right? It'll be Anthem through Blue Cross Blue Shield, Sierra Health Plan offering plans under from United, St. Mary's, and then the Nevada Co-op. You have to pick the plan on your own. All we can do is show you what options are available on the HealthLink, but you have to pick what you want.
You're listening to 91.5 KUNV. This is Neon Eden, and today we're talking with Andres Ramirez, the Nevada Director for Know Your Care. He's getting the word out, and his group is getting the word out about the Affordable Care Act. The exchanges open October 1st. And Andres, I was wondering, one of the polling poll numbers that the poll we were talking about earlier from the Kaiser health tracking poll was that I think it's somewhere around 40% of the public indicated that they didn't even believe that the Affordable Care Act was law. Is that the media? Is that our fault? Is that on us for not informing the public enough? Is that on the House of Representatives for holding 40 votes to defund and eliminate the Affordable Care Act? Why is such a large proportion of the public unaware that this is even moving forward as law?
Well, I don't want to blame it on the media as much as I want to blame it on Tovin and Andrew. part of this has just been that, historically, when major provisions of law happen like this in our country, you know, the federal government allocates significant amounts of resources to educate people about these new rules, whether that was the Medicare Part D or welfare reform or a variety of different things that happened with Social Security. We invest significant amounts of resources. That didn't happen with the Affordable Care Act, partly because our country, you know, was going through a recession and there was less resources available to Congress. But two, because there is substantial amount of media reporting every time there's a vote in Congress to repeal Obamacare. You know, messages are, hey, Congress voted to repeal Obamacare. The average person doesn't understand that the law has been repealed and, you know, that's just some political gambit going on in Congress and not that the law itself has actually now been changed or canceled. So those are just some of the things that have confusion that are going on with people. And other folks, as I said, we just haven't invested enough resources to make sure people know that, hey, this is law now and here's when it starts. And fortunately, again, for Nevada, we'll start that, you know, that starts this month, and much more, you know, media will be invested around that. You know, but this happens all the time with a variety of stuff. You know, we invest a lot of money informing people about the census, and the census happens every 10 years. And yet, it's still a huge struggle to get people to understand that they need to participate in the census, what it is and what it does, you know, and to reach that effort. You know, on elections, you know, we invest millions and millions of dollars every 2 years to let people know that they need to register to vote, and there's an election, you know, in November, and yet there's still significant numbers of people who don't register or don't know what an election is. So, you know, that's just part of the society that we live in and, you know, part of what we have to work with and making sure that we educate people about this process.
Right. And now you mentioned earlier that young people, I think 25 and under, can stay on their parents' plans, which is a change, a mandate from the government. And I was wondering, what are some of these other benefits that the public might not know about in terms of the rules for what insurance companies can and cannot do moving forward?
So there's a lot of things that the Affordable Care Act did, which were pretty phenomenal in themselves. One of the biggest things is that, you know, insurance providers can no longer discriminate based on pre-existing conditions. And therefore, people with diabetes or you know, any form of illness who has been denied coverage for that particular illness up until now, starting January 1st, 2014, insurance companies won't be able to discriminate against you or not provide you coverage for those things, which will be a huge relief to, you know, tens of millions of Americans around this country. Two, as you said, the second part is individuals under the age of 26 can remain on their parents' insurance plan until their 26th birthday. So that's a huge benefit for folks. There are a range of preventive services available now for seniors and women and young people in this country that are now available for free as a result of the Affordable Care Act that were previously available for free, things such as mammograms or pap smears and so forth. Also, one of the big things is your annual checkup. Your annual checkup now is considered a preventive screening, and so your annual checkup is considered should be provided free by insurance providers now. Many people don't go to doctor in the first place or don't get annual checkups because they didn't want to pay for that fee. That's now available for free and will help minimize some of the illnesses that people let get too far ahead because they didn't want to go to the doctors for screenings up front. So there are just a few of the things that, you know, are now required under law that, you know, will provide a huge benefit to people.
Yeah, and these are things that they pull pretty well when they're just thrown out there as individual sort of items that are, you know, not attached to these sort of politically caustic terms like Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. But I guess the fact of the matter is there are some provisions of this law that are causing some concern even among traditional Democratic allies like the like labor unions. You know, over I think in California the AFL-CIO is having its big annual get together and just yesterday they raised some real significant concerns with the law that it might have some perverse incentives to basically have employers dump employees onto these health insurance exchanges. Are there things about this law? Do they have a legitimate concern there?
The law is certainly not perfect. And there's a lot of things that can be, you know, changed on that law to address some people's concerns. And, you know, not everybody's concerns are going to be resolved, you know, in the short term and maybe ever. I do know that many folks in labor have raised some concerns about how it would impact, you know, labor health plans and how it will impact some of their employees through this process. And, You know, it's a discussion that's been going on for a couple of years about how to remedy that, and I know that there are still ongoing discussions about how we fix that so that we're ensuring that, you know, workers are still being protected in the workplace and they're still being accommodated with an insurance plan that meets their needs. Those are discussions that are way above my pay grade that are happening in the West Wing and the upper chambers of Congress in terms of how that will get resolved, if it gets resolved, and when it gets resolved. You know, but we know that labor, you know, was part of the coalition to help push for the Affordable Care Act up front. They understand, you know, the general benefits, such, again, as eliminating pre-existing conditions and overall that it provides to the general public. And so, you know, I think that it's right for them to bring up some concerns they have about how it impacts their members. That's their role, is to advocate on behalf of their members. And if there are provisions in there that may have an adverse impact, you know, they should raise them. You know, well, you know, that's for people in the administration to figure out how to resolve them.
So what's at stake here, though, politically, and just in this state and in all states, for this enrollment process, whether that goes smoothly, whether that doesn't go smoothly, how does that play in? Because we are going into an election year here.
Look, again, the law isn't perfect. There's certainly going to be ongoing discussions about how the law can be changed or modified to meet people's concerns or criticisms. You know, several concerns have already been addressed and changed, right? There was concerns about businesses being able to implement on time. They made modifications there. They've made other modifications. So the law is fluid, and you know, it's changing as it's being implemented. So, you know, I'm not going to focus too much time on that. But what will impact people, and what is the truth, again, is that there are 600,000 Nevadans who are currently uninsured and will have the opportunity, beginning this enrollment period, to enroll in this process. And so once, you know, hundreds of thousands of Nevadans are getting enrolled and are being able to remove that economic insecurity from themselves, from a medical emergency, you know, it's going to change the dynamics of how elected officials begin to talk about the Affordable Care Act at that point. I mean, now these hundreds of thousands of people will be enrolled, and the discussion will no longer be, are we implementing Affordable Care Act? It will be, are we going to take away insurance coverage from hundreds of thousands of people in Nevada and millions of people in this country? And that's going to be a different discussion that will happen. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, phenomenal if politicians try to have that conversation with constituents they're representing, that now their ability or that their intent is to take coverage away from them, as opposed to the current conversation has been to stop it from happening in the first place.
So how about that guy, though, maybe someone who's fairly healthy, who just doesn't want health insurance? Maybe that person's willing to pay, what's it, a few hundred bucks on their 2015 tax return. That's the penalty. Maybe they're willing to pay that rather than pay the potentially, you know, thousands of dollars that it might take to insure themselves. How do you talk to someone like that?
So look, the reality is just that the average person between 18 and 26 years old is going to be hesitant to get health insurance on their own because they believe they're invincible, they believe nothing will ever happen to them, and they think it will be more cost economical for them to remain uninsured. The problem is that, you know, most of these 18 to 26 years old have parents, and a large percentage of them have moms. And moms, for whatever reason, don't think their children, because they still view 18 to 25-year-olds as children, should be uninsured and should have, you know, the threat of a medical emergency. The reality of what's going to happen is that it's much more affordable for a parent, like I said, to add them to their insurance policy than it is for an individual to be on their own. So, you know, the average, you know, young, healthy, you know, 18 to 25-year-old is probably going to cost their parents' insurance an extra $30 to $40 a month in insurance coverage, you know, which is only, you know, $480 a year at most, versus someone having to pay on their own. So the outreach here really isn't going to be on trying to convince these stubborn young people who think they're invincible about getting onto insurance. It's going to be communicating with their parents about why it's more affordable for them to keep them on their insurance plan. So from that point, you're really only talking between the 26, you know, to 29-year-old folks who are still young, who haven't hit 30, you know, who are still unsure whether they're a kid or whether they're a grown-up yet, and whether what these financial terms mean for them, or maybe they work for a company where they're still too junior and they're not yet afforded those benefits that a small company or others provide for them, or the coverage they're looking for. But those are the GOAT folks that we're looking for, those that are 26 through 29. You know, your average 30-year-old is already insured and moving forward. So that's the margin of folks that we're looking for. But these scenarios that people have of these young people, these 18-year-olds, these 19-year-olds, these 20-year-olds that just aren't going to do it, unfortunately, are still going to have to deal with mom. And mom's going to say they're going to get covered.
And obviously, some of the provisions we talked about, a lot of them are geared towards more preventative care, to addressing illnesses before they get out of hand, before they become more costly. But we also know in Nevada that we don't have enough primary care physicians who do preventative care. I was wondering, in your work, in your outreach through Know Your Care, is that a concern in the medical community that we'll have enough doctors to treat new patients that do have insurance now, and the insurance is supposed to cover the regular visits, yearly checkups, and those types of things that are preventative care? Can we service the newly insured?
So one of the great things about the economy in America is that we always seem to find a way to meet the demands of consumers. These doctors and hospitals and physicians and service providers, you know, when there are more consumers to serve, more people are going to serve that practice. And so we've had several doctors or people in the medical profession who stopped practicing, and many who moved or in other places because there just wasn't a demand, or there were too many people who were uninsured, and it was creating an unstable, marketplace environment. Those things have changed. And so, do we have a deficit in Nevada of the number of providers that we should have? I'm sure several studies have said yes, as do a few in several other states. But again, the market demands that are going to flood new opportunities for people to have coverage are also creating new opportunities for young people in the medical profession and others to return to the medical profession to meet this need. It'll be a growing process. We'll know more by the end of next year whether it actually works out. But I think just from a purely economic standpoint, that if there's going to be more consumers, there's going to be someone there catering to them.
So, Andres, we're almost out of time here, but last question here. If someone is uninsured now and is looking to meet this mandate to get insurance, how do they find out more? Is there an online resource they can go to get some help?
Yeah, so the main central database for everybody to go to for information is NevadaHealthLink.com.
That's all spelled out, NevadaHealthLink.com?
Yep, all spelled out, NevadaHealthLink.com. That will provide them sample rates for what they should expect. It will give them a premium calculator for what their personal cost estimate should be, who are the companies that are providing insurance. It'll give them a 1-800 number for them to call if they want to talk to somebody to get more details. It will also let them know where Navigators and Assisters are located if they want to go meet someone in person to get more information.
All right. We've been talking with Andres Ramirez, the Nevada director for Know Your Care, he and his team are getting the word out about the Affordable Care Act. The exchanges open October 1st, the Silver State Exchange. And as he said, you can go to NevadaHealthLink.com for more information. Andres, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. I look forward to hearing future interviews.
All right, and you've been listening to Neon Eden on 91.5 KUNV. My co-host is Andrew Doman, and I'm Tovin LePan. Our producer is Richard Riegel. See you next week.